What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast Episode 7, Part 3 of 3 of our discussions with Scott Kurtz and Jeff Cannata, and it's about to get crazy. And with that, yes. Shall we move on to the crazy-ass predictions?
Yeah.
You thought things were crazy already. Oh, no. Now we need to think 10,000 years or more. Just basically your wildest ideas. Here you go. You get one. Hopefully it's a doozy. Jeff, let's start with you.
Okay, so I was a little pessimistic perhaps in the last segment, but my third one I think is pretty optimistic. Have you guys ever heard of the Omega Point Theory?
Oh, yeah.
Have you talked about it on the show already?
No. I don't think it's come up on here, though.
Okay, good. It's something that I've been reading about recently, a while back, and it kind of blew my mind. Basically, the idea is that, you know, we all know Moore's law says that we're going to continue on an upward path of complexity with computers. And at some point in the far distant future, we're reach a level of complexity where the entire universe will be one massive interconnected computer, or there will be one massive computer in the universe, and that computer will have the computational power to be able to compute every possible state. So every variable, every possible thing that could be computed will be computed. And when that happens, everything that has ever been or will ever be will exist in a state of having been processed.
And that is to say infinite, right? Like,
yes.
The theory is that it would every infinite possible anything, whether it be there's some planet somewhere with a guy named Jeff Cannata on it right now on a podcast, which seems unlikely but is infinitely possible, that'll all be calculated.
Yeah, so everything that has ever been or will ever be at all will exist at the exact same time. So it basically means we will become immortal. And it's used by some people to explain via science an idea of the paradise afterlife.
Wow.
That
oh.
A scientific explanation for creating a future where everyone who has ever been will exist at the same time. And it will be everything you can imagine will, or that could have possibly been imagined, will exist at the same time.
Is the kind of concept
all
includes
kinds of pain and agony?
Yeah, exactly. But sure.
It's so funny that you went there, Tom, because this, I'm picturing this. I'm like, oh, what could this mean? And Tom's like, it could mean pain and agony. And I'm thinking, it could be like heaven, but with Tron.
Oh, awesome.
So in heaven, right. Merritt's going, right. Merritt's in the corner burning, no! And I'm going, what's up, Merritt?
It'll be, that's the point, right? It'll be whatever you want.
I'd
Why
love
did
to
I
be
not
Tron.
Think of Tron? I'm an idiot.
The Tron has the dude in it. I'm there, man. Sign me up.
So basically the idea is that it's the opposite point to the Big Bang. Instead of the Big Bang leading to the Big Crunch, the Big Bang is leading to the Omega Point, and the Omega Point is a level of interconnectivity with the entire universe. So that instead of us being, or all matter, I should say, being propelled out from the Big Bang, all matter is being brought toward the Omega Point, is being drawn to a level of infinite complexity, and that as we move down a timeline, what we're actually moving down is a complexity line that leads to infinite complexity.
Wow.
Can the Omega Point compute itself?
I guess it would have to, right? That's part of infinite possibility.
Because I'm seeing a blue screen right there.
Blue screen, yeah. I think Microsoft worked on that for a while, and they're going to come out with the Omega Point 3.0 at some point, and it'll be actually workable.
Just as a side reference, it appears the Omega Point is broken into popular culture. The band Mr. Bungie references the Omega Point in their song "None of Them Knew They Were Robots"
nice.
On the album California. So,
There's a lot of similar theories. There's that Professor Nick Bostrom who calculated there's a 20% chance we're already living in a simulation.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
That's pretty cool. That kind of fits in as a little section of this where we could already be in the Omega Point right now.
I love that. Like, he scientifically sat down and went, how can I – is there any way to completely disprove that that's not happening? He's like, well, no, 20% chance that we're actually in that.
I don't know. My figures say. Yeah.
We've talked about it on the show before, but the idea that you could even come up with that percentage seems odd to me because it seems like the simulation would turn that off and it would be wiped from our memory. We wouldn't know about it because –
What would
you know,
be wiped?
Right.
I mean, I know – I realize we're just making a Matrix argument here, but – The idea that there's something that we shouldn't be digging into seems like we wouldn't be able to dig into. Like right now, us talking about it shouldn't exist. Should just poof out of existence.
But we don't really believe it, so it's okay for us to play around with it.
I guess.
The simulation knows that we don't really believe it.
Yeah.
Isn't this kind of like that thing with the Hadron Collider they were talking about, the Hadron Collider or whatever?
It's proof of time travel because it's not working right.
Right.
I think that's like, badass.
That's crazy.
A cool idea, man. It's like
particles are going back in time and breaking the LHC to prevent it from discovering the particle that went back in time to break the LHC.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to tell my friend about this Omega Point theory because we were discussing things. We were discussing the day how we both he and I have this weird of our anxiety where we think about things fourth dimensionally. And by that, we're not just thinking about a person that exists now. We think about everything that could have happened. So, and this is just a really horrible manifestation of our anxiety. But a good example I gave him was I came out of the house the other day and I did that thing where you step on your foot weird and then your ankle twists. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, do I ever. I just rolled my ankle yesterday.
Yeah, you roll your ankle. Okay. Yeah. Well, I had this moment where I almost rolled it. And so you're stuck and you have this really horrible moment after this 30 seconds of, oh, my God, I almost rolled my ankle. And it's so vivid what would happen if you had rolled it that you might as well have rolled it. Like the odds of it happening either way are equal.
Yeah.
And there's an alternate timeline somewhere where you did roll it. And you're right here on this very spot going, oh, Joe, son of a.
Yeah.
And so,
dude, I experience that all the time. I often find myself in a situation and my brain goes, what would be the worst possible thing for me to do right here?
Yeah.
And then it becomes such a real idea of that would be absolutely horrible for me to just lean over and kiss my girlfriend's mom. Like, you know, like it would be so bizarre and wrong. Like, and then it becomes like, wow. And then you go 12 steps down the line of what would that really mean? And what would and then it almost as if it did happen.
No, see, I use this in the opposite way. I have this deal where if I have a close friend or my wife is in Texas, actually, she's about 10 minutes from where Scott is right now. But anyway,
yeah.
When she
left, I'm going over to kiss her right now.
when she left, I do this thing where I think, planes crashing, wife, if she died, what would I do? Oh, my children, you know, I think of all the worst things. So what do I do to deal with that? I wrap it up in, what if that plane, you know, explodes and it turns out terrorists had a bunch of stuff inside that when it spread around, it actually burned a giant hole in Texas and millions of people died because I think of the worst, dumbest thing possible that I know would never happen. And that somehow gives me comfort.
That's never going to happen. She'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I come back to.
I tend to take solace in this multi-universe theory that it's like, well, you know what? In some universe, she is dead and there's just nothing we can do about it. You know? So hopefully I'm on the better timeline. I'm just, you know, I'm rolling the dice here. And I don't know, in some sick way that's what makes me feel better. It's like, well, you can't stop it. It's all happening anyway.
Yeah.
Wow, in some alternate universe, I'm hosting the show and I don't have to come up with a prediction now.
And I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, we were going to forget and just not do it, but no.
We might have skated by and in some alternate universe, we did.
Yeah.
But not in this one. So, Scott Kurtz, crazy ass prediction?
Yeah, crazy ass prediction. So, it's really funny because I was trying to come up with a good one earlier today, and I thought, you know, what's really funny is, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And maybe the further out you get, maybe when you go way, 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 way out there, it's more like it is now than if you were to go just a little bit out there. In the bigger scheme of things, you know? And so I was trying to think of things that were a little more realistic, and for some reason my brain went to a story that I read as a graphic novel, but it actually was a 1974 science fiction novel by Joel Haldeman. It's called The Forever War. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it.
Yeah, we actually read that on the Sword and Laser podcast that I do with Veronica Belmont as one of our books.
Did you?
Recently. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, The Forever War scared the hell out of me when I read it as a kid. So for those of you that aren't familiar with it, The Forever War was basically this science fiction novel where there was a race called the Tarans, actually. Right. They were at war with us, but they were so far away that we had to use light speed technology and wormholes to get to them. So the troops and the plot follows the troops, but and I'm paraphrasing. You've read this more recently than me, Tom. But the troops, every time they go on a tour and come back, the world has changed so drastically, and they're so ostracized because they no longer fit in that the only option they have to feel normal is just to reenlist and go on another tour. And another reason why I thought of it was this whole thing with gay marriage being, I guess, voted down again in Maine, and how. So in the Forever War, one of the things that happens when the veterans return on one of their tours is that homosexuality has been mandated by society.
Mandated.
Yeah. And in mandated. Fact, one of the characters
no pun
is
intended.
Considered queer.
Holy
one of the
crap.
Characters is considered queer because he's straight.
Wow.
Yes. And, society has, due to overpopulation that caused a bunch of food wars or, fighting over resources, homosexuality has become officially encouraged by the world government. And then the idea of replicating or reproducing slowly starts turning towards scientific means. And by then, homosexuality is so accepted that when we start cloning ourselves, we're just cloning men. And they start essentially a new race called man. But it made me think a little bit how, what's – how some things are so subjective, like fashion, and when people predict what the future is going to be like a friend of mine just posted a thing from the 30s about what the future fashion is going to be like, and they're completely just off. It was like watching Metropolis is what they were predicting.
Yeah, wait till we get a load of our shows in a while.
I really – so that's my prediction. My prediction is in the future –
mandated
gender,
homosexuality.
Well, no. I'm getting around to my prediction. Not mandated homosexuality. But what I'm saying is in the future, either through normal societal evolution or just through evolution being kind of taken over by science, the concept of gender will slowly fade. I think the dividing between the sense of genders will disappear.
Oh, we'll be like those genderless people on Star Trek: The Next Generation that were making out with Riker.
Next Generation, exactly.
Yeah.
That makes you feel more comfortable, Scott. You can think about it that way.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that Jonathan Frakes scene where he's making out with that thing that wasn't a chick or a dude.
Making out with Jonathan Frakes is what makes you accept it.
So inspired by the Forever War, my crazy ass prediction is thousands and thousands of years in the future, whether due to societal happenings or just natural evolution or forced evolution due to our cloning and stuff, the concept of gender will fade away.
It's like Pit-Pat. Do you guys know Pit-Pat, the pansexual, non-threatening spokes thing?
Yeah.
From Mr. Show?
We will all become Pit-Pat. Pit-Pat the collective. I think you're on to something here. I wonder – okay, I think – the elimination of sex, not as an act, but as a, I am a male, I am a female. I think that goes away first.
Sure.
Right? Because we come up with all these other ways of reproducing that we don't need to be one or the other. It doesn't really matter. It's totally separated from pleasure, right? Science comes to the point where you can just, make a new baby, whip one up, easy bake oven. But the concept of gender is already somewhat in modern society disconnected from that in many cases. So do we actually lose that, or do we get more of them?
Well, I The idea being, if sex is no longer needed for human reproduction, the theory would be that you would eventually, in the crazy-ass 10,000-year future, eventually evolution would take care of the fact that you no longer need the drive or the, you know, the all the reasons that that's awesome would go away.
Well, listen, let me tell you guys something. Well,
I don't like the future.
Listen.
You know, I've always said that Prince is way ahead of his time.
Yeah, totally.
I had no idea how far ahead of his time. Yeah. Right, go ahead.
As someone who was born with a hormone disorder that's being treated through science, I can tell you that there is a very, very real and a very, very mean monster inside testosterone. And I don't get as much as I should naturally. And I went for a long time without getting as much as a guy normally does. And then when we discovered that and the doctor fixed that and I got a normal amount of testosterone, I became a son of a bitch for a little while, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
And that is very real. That is very real. And that is a chemical. That is a chemical that you know, I guess you can debate what the origin of it is. But I mean, that is a huge driving force.
So if you had chemicals that could strip hormones out of your system, strip testosterone from a man, you're essentially making him no longer. You're no longer giving him some of the things needed for a man to be the hunter gatherer, find the woman, reproduce guy, and you've turned him more into this drone guy.
I'm not saying that you can strip testosterone from a guy, an adult male, and suddenly he's a woman. But I can tell you that as a guy who went around getting about half to two thirds what I should have been, I wasn't interested in sports. I wasn't interested in cars. I was interested in the arts, drawing, you know, sitting at home making cartoons. I'd have a very different life, probably.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very interesting to think about how much of that is. You know, nature versus nurture, and how much of that is chemical? How much of that is? I mean, honestly, I mean, literally, because one protein didn't move up a chain in the womb. I mean, to talk about the effects of the fluttering wing of a butterfly across, you know, causing a typhoon metaphorically. It's just very interesting, and I think that in the future, as more of that stuff becomes kind of common knowledge and easier for people to manipulate. Things might get a little different.
Interesting.
I certainly totally see that.
I certainly think maybe this is a no-brainer, but I certainly think it'll happen in terms of race. I think that we will all sort of become one thing.
Brown.
Yeah, one beige little entity.
Yeah.
But I've never really contemplated the gender idea. It's really kind of blown my mind.
I still wonder though, because gender is so complicated and so much a product of so many different things that maybe gender becomes something that we can't even imagine now, because like you're saying, Scott, the driving factors we can strip out, you know, or we can solve, we can pick, we can choose. And
sure.
And people decide, like, you know, I want to be a sort of feminine butch male something or other, you know. And there's so many points on the scale that you can be, and there's this idea of the continuum, right? There's you know, there's feminine lesbians and butch lesbians, and then there's feminine heterosexual women and butch heterosexual
I should probably write this down somewhere in a blog post or something, but imagine being in your 30s and having a doctor say, you know, the stuff the guys take to make their sex life better. Well, I can give you that, and then you'll have as much testosterone as a normal guy. And you might find that you have some, you know, less anxiety problems, maybe have an easier time losing weight, things like that. Like, not like your whole life's going to change, but, you know, you might find things are a little easier. But your body is going to take a second to a little time to adjust to it. So at first you might find, I mean, essentially like a 16-year-old. And I mean, I am me. And that's who I am, is me, and in my head and in my heart. And I don't like to think of the fact that it's affected by a chemical. But I had never, up until that point when it really first kicked in, I had never seen red. Like, I've heard the phrase.
Uh-huh.
But like, you're standing in line at a Chick-fil-A and some guy just steps in line in front of you. And normally I'd be like, oh, what a jerk. This will be an interesting story for my wife. But I was like, let's step outside. And then I'm shaking at the car. It's 2 minutes later, and my friend's like, "You were going to kill that guy. I had to get you out of there." And it's like, I don't want to be this guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's sort of this idea of the strange attractor, right? Which is like something that binds otherwise disparate elements together in a pattern somehow. And I feel like that's personality, and we can range within that attractor. And so there can be the angry Scott Kurtz that's red, but you're still you, but you want to be kind of farther back towards the center somehow. Whatever you have to do to push and pull you. There's an essence to every person that is them, but they can drift in different directions.
Well, even Scott said it, but even the Hulk, he always had a little Bruce in him. Always.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a metaphor and it's a story and it's fake.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But I think it applies.
Banner was always inside, waiting to return.
We haven't made you angry, have we?
No.
Good.
No, but I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's societal things to it, too, because I know that my wife and I have conversations that if sometimes with my younger brother or even my dad, especially my dad, if he overhears it, he kind of rolls his eyes. But I remember saying, what was the phrase? I'm trying to think of like I said to my wife, did you see that Ray Romano has a new TV show coming out and Scott Bakula's in it? She's like, oh, yeah, your boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, he's good looking. And,
Scott Bakula or Ray Romano?
Scott Bakula. Come on,
that
dude.
That was our pause. We're like, hey,
everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah, everybody.
But see, even you guys weren't like, wow, Scott's queer. No, you were like, God, I hope you mean Scott Bakula, because Ray Romano is not good looking at all. I think my father comes from a generation where admitting that another guy is good looking, is just a very odd thing.
But, yeah, for sure. No, I don't know if you guys watch Mad Men at all, but they like to play with those sorts of things, those sorts of cultural differences that have changed over the years. Like, letting the kids play with mercury, or there's something disturbing on television from the news. Turn off the TV. Don't let the kids watch it. We need to shelter them from it. Instead of today, we all gather around and like, oh yeah, kids, you're watching history here.
Yeah.
So yeah,
there's definitely a bit of that going on. There's a scene in that show where they go to a picnic and they don't pick up their crap. They just dump their stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember thinking, dude, I mean, they were obviously trying to make it sure I noticed this. It wasn't subtle in any way, but I was just thinking, dude, if we did that today, that's like $900 fine.
What is that like doing that? In the 70s, I remember my parents, like, we had Kentucky Fried Chicken. We're at a picnic table out in St. Louis, and we sit and we eat the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we get up and we leave it. We just left it on the table.
Weird.
Yeah. It's like that scene in Anchorman where they're all walking and they're eating. They just throw their crap on the ground when they're done.
That's just a different way.
I still see people do that, and it makes me turn red. That's my Bruce Banner moment when I see somebody just cavalierly throw their garbage on the ground. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And said, give a toot, don't pollute, and we all changed. Yeah.
But there's your societal effect. See, that's we have all grown somehow in some whatever manner. We figured out that is not cool. And so it is a minority of people who do it, and when they do it, the rest of us are ticked. So who knows in the future what societal factors will come into play and combine themselves with Scott's scary chemical future to create this, unisex Jonathan Frakes action that we're all
that you're hoping for.
Yeah.
Or hoping against.
All right, let's move it along to four questions. Time for four questions. This is the segment where we hit each of our guests. We don't strike them. We just pummel them rapid-fire style with four questions about the future. They're not allowed to stop and think. Just kind of tap into that communal energy and answer from the gut. Give us maybe not a more accurate prediction, but at least a highly entertaining one. Here we go. Take it away, Scott Johnson.
All right, Jeff Cannata, I'm out to ask you these questions. Here you go. Are you sitting comfortably?
I am indeed.
All right. Didn't sound rehearsed at all. If you could live in a future filled with actors from The Shield, who would you want investigating your murder case?
Goggins, Walton Goggins.
Oh my gosh, you want Shane?
Shane, yeah. He'll get to the bottom of things immediately.
And kick your trash. I was hoping you'd say Dutch. I'm kind of a soft spot for Dutch.
Oh, I love Dutch. He kills cats, though.
Yeah, thanks for the addiction, by the way. The real future of professional sports, Mutant League Football, Running Man, or something entirely new?
Running Man, definitely.
All right. I know you're an NFL guy, so.
Yes.
If earthquakes cause the bringing together again of all the major continents into one big supercontinent, who gets to be in charge?
It's Arnold. He'll win the Running Man and rule us all.
Awesome.
Running Man champion.
And lastly, what fictitious future from books or film do you want to live in?
You know, I love the Foundation books by Isaac Asimov, and the idea that science can be a predictor of the future is pretty awesome. I want Harry Seldon to make sure everything's going to be okay for me.
All right. I was afraid you were going to say, like, Watchmen or something. It's going to scare me.
No, I want super. I don't want to outlaw superheroes. Bring on superheroes.
All right.
I heard that your episode a few weeks ago when you guys were predicting real superheroes, and I was like, that's awesome. I'm ready.
I want to live there.
Yeah, I want to be one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. Scott Kurtz, are you sitting comfortably?
Yeah. Very comfortably.
Are you prepared for the questions?
I am prepared. I'm ready.
Here they come.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one. Who will win the eventual final battle between vampires and Star Trek fans?
Vampires. Because there's more girls in that camp, and the Star Trek fans will want to get laid.
Yeah. And this is before the gender stuff.
Using sex as a weapon. All right. Yeah. Question number two. Will the GPU become the new CPU? The CPU swallow the GPU, or will both bow to some heretofore unknown source from beyond?
Either way, Adobe's going to screw it up when they put out the new version of their CS software.
No doubt.
Either way, Adobe uses all the cycles.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to make Adobe crash.
Yeah,
so it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. As long as it's not a PPU.
Question number three. Who will have the most medals in the 21-24 Olympics?
Who will have the most medals?
Yes.
The United States of America. No. It'll be the new virtual sovereign country.
Full of genderless drones. It'll be awesome.
With a MIDI national anthem.
Yes.
And finally, question number four. What will you regret most about appearing on Forecast?
Not being able to record it in person with Jeff Cannata.
Oh, how sweet.
You're the best.
You're made of love.
I take back Jeff. Everything I said about America.
America's awesome.
I hope that's not hyperbole. See, I know big words.
Nice. I don't know what it means, but it sounds great.
I think it's a large rat.
Yeah.
Could be spelling it wrong.
Too much salt in my hyperbole.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. This has been a fantastic conversation. A great episode.
You guys, this show is great. I love the idea behind it, and you've hooked me. I'm a regular listener from now on. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's not kidding either, man. This is a great show. I'm glad you guys are doing it, and thank you so much for having me on. I'm honored to be asked.
Well, it was wonderful having you guys on. We're big fans of you guys, and having you guys on today proved to be what I think is my biggest prediction about the show is that every episode is better than the last. I think today's was as good as anything we've done. So you guys are a huge part of that. So thank you so much.
I would just like to say, screw the next guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's break that chain.
I predict they're going to suck.
It's kind of amazing how many different ways people can go with predictions. It's just so wide open. You always get something that I don't even think the people themselves knew that they were going to come up with until they're sort of faced with these questions.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right, folks, don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or you can send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, the plugging doesn't end there. Jeff Cannata, tell them where they can find Totally Rad Show and all the stuff you do.
Check out totallyradshow.com or revision3.com/TRS. You can also follow me on Twitter, Jeff Cannata. That's Jeff Cannata. I'm not going to spell it. jeffcannata.com is a place to find me, too.
The award-winning blog.
Yes, multi award winner.
That's what you've been hearing.
And Scott Kurtz, master of PvP, tell the folks where they can follow you along.
You can see my daily webcomic at pvponline.com. If you're interested in making your own comics, head over to webcomics.com. That's where we have our kind of our Squarespace powered website where we try to help you get the best out of your creative endeavors. I'm on Twitter. I'm PvP Online on Twitter. And I just started a new personal blog where I put everything that doesn't kind of fit anywhere else at scottkurtz.com.
Nice. Yeah,
fantastic. Well, Scott, I think another fantastic episode.
I believe so as well. I think that my decision to invite these two was a brilliant idea, and I wish you would just get with the program and get some good. I'm just kidding. No, the truth is, this is one of my favorite things to do every month, and you guys made it special today, so thank you again, and thanks to the listeners who keep listening, because the numbers just keep going up, and we just keep having more fun.
We actually know who our next guests are going to be. We're getting Paul and Storm from Paul and Storm.
Yeah,
it was
that'll
just
be
a,
good.
A cheap way for me to make an easy booking because them all at once.
Yeah, they come together, but that'll be great. That'll be our second major musical guest lineup, and it'll be fun to hear what they think about the future of mankind as well.
All right, see you later, folks.
Bye bye.
But it's only 32 years away.